Blog Talk Radio.
Bring the Lord from Jerusalem, and we've been giving him the praises here. But God wants.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Passover feedback.
Yeah, Passover feedback. This is Olive Branch Ministries, and it's 11:30 Saturday night. And the name of the program is Late Night in the Word. We want to say shalom, shalom, and happy Passover. Praise God for the Passover. We had a great day today.
We learned a lot today.
I think a lot is an understatement.
Yeah.
I think we were traveling in another dimension of understanding today. Praise God. We hope you are having, if you're a celebrant of Passover, we hope that the Lord was speaking to you today as you fellowshipped with those that you love. And for those of you who aren't observant of Passover, I hope that will change.
Amen.
Because there's a whole lot of deception out there surrounding Passover and Easter. And it is our goal, most definitely, to try and
bring some tension,
offend everyone. no, it's our goal to lovingly correct and hopefully bring insight and revelation to you about the fullness of the scriptures. And that's really what Passover is about, is the Bible is one book, and you can't pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. Most definitely, the Bible it's not Jewish. It's the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1, Pastor Weintraub went to this scripture this morning. I thought it was really good that he used it. It's the God word. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And we have a tendency to call the Bible the Word of God, but it's really the God Word. It's a living document.
Yes, and it's worth mentioning, too, it's not a translation there. John wrote it in Greek, Theos Logos, and he mean what he said.
Amen. And we needed to come into alignment with what he said, because it's not acceptable to interpret the scriptures according to our preference, because you can't change God. God is unchangeable. And the gospel isn't man's gospel. The gospel is God's gospel. And none of us were here to decide whether Jesus would come to the earth. Jesus and the Father decided. And they will have mercy on whom they will have mercy, and they will save whom they will save, and you can't do anything about it. Neither can you annul anything they decide to do. And if we could come to these conclusions before we start studying the scriptures, maybe we would do less reading into the scriptures and just let the scriptures be what they are. So that being the case, today is Passover. It is the 14th of Nisan, or Aviv, depending on which Hebrew you like to speak. And that means something very unique, because a lot of people are going to church tomorrow to celebrate Easter, and there is no way for tomorrow to be Easter if t- today is Passover. Now, if today is Passover, and if we follow after a more Gentile view, even if Friday is the typical day that they say Jesus went in the ground, it's still not accurate because Passover's today.
Yeah, this particular Friday was the 14th of Nisan, but if you do the math, it just doesn't work out. And there's no way you can get around it. Jesus, when they asked for a sign, he said, I'm not going to give you any sign except for the sign of Jonah.
Uh-oh.
And so, he said 3 days and three nights.
You know, we have a phone number. I'm gonna use that one, Avery. We have a phone number, 631-533-4099. For those of you listening to Blog Talk Radio, you can call us at 347-850-1420. That's on the control panel. If you look there, you can dial us up, send us a chat. Also, for those listening through our website, 631-533-4099, if you can explain what the sign of Jonah really means for the weekend, for the week of Passover, I would love to hear someone explain it. I know we know how to explain it, but I'd like to know if someone else out there knows how to explain it. Because if you don't know how to explain it and how to do the math, because it's really simple math, it's not difficult math at all. If you start when Jesus is resurrected, and that is anywhere after sundown on Saturday, all the way up to Sunday morning when the sun comes up, when the first disciple shows up on the scene. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when Jesus actually resurrected. It just says that they found him at the grave empty.
After the Sabbath in the morning. On the first day of the week.
That's all it says. It doesn't say when he did.
Right.
We make a jump in conclusion that it was that morning. There's no reason to believe that it could not have been at the end of the third day. So if we want to, I'll tell the math this way. If you want to start just at the first of the week sunup to count it back, count 3 days and three nights.
Yeah.
So that would be Saturday night, Friday night, Thursday night. And then 3 days would be Saturday day, Friday day, Thursday day. So Jesus had to go in the grave Thursday morning. Well, we know he was in the grave on an evening. So now we can interject the other part of the scripture in Genesis, which talks about when a day starts in the Bible.
It was
and
evening,
when does a day?
It was morning.
It was evening first.
Yeah, evening is 6 p.m.
Still today.
The 12th hour.
Still today, when the sun goes down, the beginning of the next day starts.
Yep.
That's just the way it is in the Hebrew calendar. And so if we observe that, that means Jesus comes out of the grave at some point after sundown on Saturday night. So really you're starting your count Saturday day, Friday day, Thursday day, and then Friday night is the last of the nights, Thursday night, Wednesday night. So now we have him going through the trials. The day of Passover is on Wednesday.
The preparation, the 14th, the day that they would be getting
the hummus out. They would slay the, and they would slay the lamb.
Yes.
That would be the day that Jesus would be slain, and they would be doing that process together as they were slaying the lambs for their meals. There was Jesus also being slain for the sins of the whole world.
Yep.
And the other thing that's important to understand is a lot of the confusion is also around the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the day after Passover, which was always a Sabbath. And the assumption has always been, well, Jesus had to get in the grave before Sabbath, but we are not quick to understand the festival itself and the possibility that you can have two Sabbaths in 1 week on a Passover Unleavened Bread celebration. You could have a Passover on Friday or a Sabbath on Friday and a Sabbath on Saturday, depending on the year.
Or like today, the high Sabbath and the seventh day Sabbath were the same day.
Correct.
And so it's really unique because you have the Sabbath, the high Sabbath, the 7 day Sabbath on the same day and immediately after that, as we've passed into now, first fruits, the day of first fruits all together within a 2 day period.
Now, let's go to Exodus because this, I want to make sure you hear this because this is where Exodus 12 and the beauty of what we were hearing this morning you know, having been around enough to have been to many Passover Seders, and we as a ministry have done Passover meals and Seders and followed through on the traditions and done the traditional meals, there's quite a bit of layering within Passover that comes from Judaism. And the beauty of Exodus is this is the first one. Exodus chapter 12 is the very first Passover. There is no tradition and there is no Judaism. There's only the people of Israel and the God of Israel having a conversation. And as we heard this morning, fellowship is taking place. And so the living God says, let's read verse 10 through 12.
10 through 12. You want Avery or Robert?
Doesn't matter.
All right. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Oh, man, there's so much here. I want to go back to verse 9. Read verse 9 also.
Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof.
Roasted with fire is very important. This is what you have to keep in mind, is God is very serious about appointed times. In the Hebrew, the word is moed. He's very specific, and everything that he does is with a purpose. So it's not an accident the lamb is asked to be roasted. Everyone is a student of the scriptures understands that fire is a typical sign of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Purify, sterile.
Purify.
Trial.
Trial.
Purification, like refinement.
Right. Going through tribulations.
By putting it through fire.
So if the lamb goes through the fire, it has to be roasted. He is making a prophetic declaration about his son down the road, the lamb who would be slain for the sins of the world. He would have to go through a roast. He would have to go through the fire and the trial of his own faith as he walked on the earth. And there is this trial, this roasting of the lamb is centerpiece to the joining together of God and his people, and even the people together.
Yep.
This is the beauty of what I was hearing this morning, is every family had to get their own lamb on the 10th of the month. And for 4 days, they had that little lamb in their house, and they had to examine this lamb and be around it and pet it. And they had a relationship building in 4 days with this little lamb. And on the fourth day, they had to cut it and shed its blood. And the shedding of the blood then drew the family together, and anyone in the household, servants, whoever was a part of their house, they would put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. And then the angel of death, the angel of God, would not come into the house. He would pass over. You have a whole family and a whole nation of families all together because they're obeying this push of the living God. I want you to put a lamb in, and I want you to shed the blood. It's going to be the focus of fellowship. And we kept going over this word fellowship and fellowship and fellowship. And what were the two other words that we went over?
The other ones were renewal and I'm tongue-tied with the R words.
Remembrance.
Renewal, remembrance.
And relationship.
And relationship.
Relationship.
Fellowship, relationship.
Yep.
There's a relationship going on between Israel and their God. And if you happen to be a believer and you've been in the church, I really want to encourage you to open the doorway of your mind for a moment. Because Passover is not something that was in that is just Jewish. Passover is an exchange between God and the people that he desires to save. Everyone that he desires to save, he passes over. Everyone that desires to walk with God, he will pass over. You have to have a Passover experience with God in order to walk with him. It's the entry into relationship. It absolutely establishes that not only are you individually passed over, but your salvation is corporate and it has a fellowship about it. There is a community orientation. And this is something I think missing in many ways, because salvation has its certain response, I think, which is just to get me out of hell. When I look at Passover and I start understanding the reality of what Passover is, we went to a scripture tonight that actually, it was amazing. It's John chapter 6. And I think, unfortunately, the writing in the English does us a disservice, because Passover is now the Jews' festival instead of the biblical festival.
Yeah. You know, Jewish is a Jew is a later day term.
So read verse 4 and read verse 5.
And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lift up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?
How big a company?
A great company.
A little further down it says 5,000 people. And it's Passover. And these people are following Jesus around. That sounds fascinating to me. Because we know they're supposed to be going up to Jerusalem, because it's a psalm of it's an ascent. It's one of the three festivals in Deuteronomy 16:16. You'll go up to the city, all the males, for Passover, for Pentecost, and for Shavuot, for tabernacles. So if you have 5,000 people and it's Passover and they're either on their way up or they've just left, there is a community understanding that we're here in the city, next to the city, close to the city, either traveling towards it or just having left, that is a corporate reality of following the living God. We're here to worship.
So on the way up, these 5,000 gather to hear Jesus teaching,
which is perfectly normal.
And as the day wears on, the approach of the Passover comes and they have a need of unleavened bread.
What is unleavened bread?
Unleavened bread. It's bread that doesn't have rising agents. And it goes all the way back to Genesis.
It does. Exodus also, there is a commandment here from the Lord to the people of Israel concerning the bread as well. It's in verse 15.
12:15. And even in verse 8.
And even in verse 8, you're correct.
All right.
Somebody read that.
All right. And they shall, verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day, ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So God is teaching us, one thing I see with unleavened bread is God is teaching us about transformation. Because eating unleavened bread, it doesn't transform us, but unleavened bread is a model of sinlessness because it's pointing towards the unleavened life of Jesus or the sinless life of Jesus.
What do you think, Robert?
Amen. He wants, and that's a great example of how he wants us and how he wants us to live our lives. He wants us to have a sinless life. He doesn't want sin in our lives. In this particular case, it was incorporated into the Passover and what they had to do, their preparation. And later on, you know, when we talk about holiness, you'll see that there's preparation in everything that was done with regard to holiness.
There is a portion here, and it came out this morning, and it's something that I really want to say to the audience, because we were reading this morning some things from a ministry or a church out in California that has developed a really apostate ministry, I guess you'd call it. And when you're talking about unleavened, one of the things about the Passover is when the Passover was established, liberty was final. When God said you're going to be unleavened, he didn't say I want you to try to be unleavened. He said be unleavened. Because you are unleavened. I've made you unleavened because my blood purges your sins. And if you are unleavened and my blood purges your sins, then this is why it's important for Christians, because we have this tendency to believe, and I really believe it is because we have thrown out the Old Testament's value. We've made the Old Testament the Jews' Bible, and the New Testament is the Christians' Bible, but there's some good stuff in the Old Testament, so I can't throw it all away. When it comes to the law, that's where the Christian runs away, because the law has been made into a document of legalism. However,
people read it wrong. Pastor had me change, because I was reading from the Tanakh and they translated the word ordinance as law. And he's like, no, it's actually ordinance there.
It's so important to be accurate.
It is.
It's so important because here's the thing. If I go to this ministry out in California and I look at what they're teaching, what they're really saying is, though you believe in Jesus, there's no need to try and make a change into sanctification and the holiness of God. Because that's impossible. And by the way, Jesus was a punk rocker, and he loved to do all this kind of crazy resistance against the government and against the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was kicking the Pharisees out of the temple, and I have been saved, and I'm still a sinner, and it's not transformation. And the Bible doesn't teach Passover the way it does for us to walk away and say, I still live in Egypt.
No.
And that's what Christianity has decided in this country. I get the benefits of Passover, but I also get the benefits of Egypt. That's not what God did. God said, I want you to put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. And I'm going to pass over you. And what did you read there in verse 11? It says, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, It is the Lord's Passover. Why are they eating in haste, and why are they ready to run almost?
Well, because they're getting out of Egypt. God has done a series of plagues against the land of Egypt because Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't let the people go as God commanded.
Why do Christians take it easy when it comes to leaving Egypt?
Why? I think it's an identity crisis. It's a belief crisis, and it's really a shame because we use that word belief, but we don't believe because we really haven't even been trained. We haven't gone back and magnified God's teaching.
Oh, that's remembering.
You know, because this teaching of what's going on in the Passover, it's really the redemptive work of Jesus. It's not the Old Testament. It's God showing us what really he's using the deliverance of Israel from Egypt as a teaching tool to teach about Messiah that's going to come and how he's going to redeem us for real. And they're getting saved. And they're getting saved the same way we get saved. Because this thing that they're going through obediently, it isn't just what they're doing. It is what they're doing, but it's also Yeshua, who's to come. They're actually walking through as God said it through Moses, the Lord's Passover. And Pastor magnified this morning that's a capital L there. It's Yod Heh Vav Heh. God.
This is why, and we're down to 3 minutes before we're going to move back over to our own website and get away from Blog Talk Radio. And at the top of the hour, we didn't say this at the beginning of the program, top of the hour, we give 15 minutes to Diego and Robert, and they will be teaching for 15 minutes in Spanish. So if you have Spanish friends and they can get to a radio or to the internet quick, you can encourage them to get on and listen for 15 minutes. They'll cover some of the same things that we're talking about and some of the things on their heart. So just keep in mind, at the top of the hour, we switch back to olivebranchonline.org/radio, and our phone number is 631-533-4099. It is so important to keep these words in mind, relationship and remembrance especially. And I think this is one of the disturbing things, is because there's so much apostasy today, the real reality that is exposing is that Christians aren't good at remembering their history, remembering the history of Israel, remembering why God did certain things and why certain ordinances or laws are appropriate, how to work within the structure of those commandments so that the life is blessed. But we don't have that opportunity because we are taught Easter, and the fullness of the festivals is lost to us. And because we have generally a quiet form of anti-Semitism, when we sit with Jewish people and they start to speak to us, the tendency is to get offended because we assume incorrectly that they're trying to convert us to Judaism. But what they don't understand is that the festivals were given by God to the Jewish people in order to provoke the world. I don't know what it would have been like that day when the families put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts, and they have everyone together, and they're having a big meal. They roasted a lamb, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, down comes the angel of the Lord to do what he's going to do, and there's Egyptian families all over here, and they're in their houses also, and they're a little suspicious because of these other houses, and I have to know that they understood what was going on, because I don't think the Jewish people just sat there and didn't tell them. I think they communicated to them, but they're going to watch it, and they're going to see what God does. They are going to have someone in their house die that night. And they're going to wake up in the morning and their neighbor, the Israelite, will not have had anybody die. And they're going to see the blood on the doorposts and the blood on the lintel. And they're going to go back in their house. And then they're going to look at their neighbor and they're going to say, okay, you guys got to leave because your God's bigger than us. And I have to believe that just like in the world, those with a powerful testimony who are willing to follow God's ordinances, they have an impact on the world. If you're following it correctly, it will provoke people. So we're at the top of the hour now, one past, so I'm going to let you think on those things. We'll come back at a quarter after. And Robert, we'll turn it over to you and let you and Diego go the directions on your heart.
Praise God. Gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios. Bienvenidos, hermanos y hermanas. A tarde en la noche, aquí estamos sus siervos, Robert Rodríguez, aquí con mi hermano.
Diego Cruz, buenas noches. Dios les bendiga, hermano. Shalom, shalom.
Estamos, nos gozamos aquí porque sabemos que es el tiempo de nosotros compartir y estudiar con ustedes de la palabra de del Señor.
Ya hemos esperado que hayan tenido un feliz Pascua a todos los que celebran la Pascua del Señor, a los que siguen la palabra del Señor.
Amén, amén, amén. Y saben que, por favor, nos pueden llamar si tienen alguna pregunta, algún comentario, al número 1-631